Still on a bit of an MCU kick this week. We had the Ms. Marvel trailer drop this week, and it looked really fun. It looked really hopeful, wholesome, just a completely different tone from a lot of the other very gritty Marvel media. And I found this crossover event because sometimes I play show rewatch podcasts in the background while I work. And I've been listening to the Gossip Girl rewatch podcast with Jessica Zohr. And I don't know, it's weird because I should not like Gossip Girl, but I kind of like it just because everyone's mean and rich and good looking. And of course, Sebastian Stan was one of the standout characters, actually a supporting character. He only appeared in 12 episodes, but he really left an impression. And then he became Bucky in Captain America movies. And he talked a little bit about the filming process and what it's like.
So I feel like Marvel's super weird about their storylines and things getting out. It's super top secret. So how was that for you guys?
Because that's why I think it's very hard to do it on location now, because it just, somebody will film it and then it will end up online. And So oftentimes it has to be in a studio in order to protect the story. And it's tough again for them because the massive universe that's built there by Kevin Feige is just so, it's all connected. So you want to protect that, because then if you're watching a scene, it might actually be connected to four different things in other movies. Yeah, it's impossible to really do a lot of that on location. I mean, some of them we did in Cleveland. The Winter Soldier one was weirdly all mostly on location. But again, it was online.
Right. Winter Soldier, by the way, I want to talk about that. I remember as your friend when that came out, that you booked that, like, that's like a life-changing thing for me, for you. I was just so pumped for you.
First of all, you got to remember, it was 2010, and it was just for the Captain America role. Iron Man had come out. I remember going with Chase to see that. And Iron Man had been so amazing, and then they were going to do the Captain America thing. And I remember going, there was a few auditions, and finally someone said I was going to screen text. And Chase was one of the people that they were looking at. John Krasinski was another one I remember. There were a lot of people involved that right. were kind of going in. And I had been up for a couple of things that I didn't get. You know, I'd been up for that Star Trek Chris Pine role I didn't get. I'd been up for the Green Lantern Ryan Reynolds role I didn't get.
Right.
And so I didn't really bank on this necessarily. And it didn't go my way. They just called me a week after saying, maybe we should talk about this other role, which they weren't even casting at the time. And fortunately, they just saw that I was more fitted for that role. But again, it was always a discussion of, yeah, we would love to do this one day, but you know, we're just trying to take it one movie at a time and make sure that people still go see it. So it was still very early in their success and in their kind of ideas.
But like in that, we've talked about this a couple times on the podcast, like, you know, sometimes when you don't get a role and you've worked really hard and you kind of get bummed, and there's like a thing where it's like you can't hold on to it because being bummed about it isn't going to change it. Because a lot of times you don't get more roles than you get, I should say. So it's things like when you just went through that, you didn't get this one, and those are big movies and those are great. But it's my point is at the end of the day, you ended up getting a role that you knocked out of the park that people love. And there's probably times when you didn't get a role where you're kind of like, you get like, damn it, I was like... You get what I'm saying?
Well, no, I appreciate that. And yeah, I mean, and this goes back to sort of weirdly Gossip Girl in a way as well, right? When we were talking about being in our 20s and going out for stuff. Obviously, you know, you go out for something like Star Trek and then you see someone else gets it. And then you see that they just shoot straight up, you know, and their whole life seems to be changed. And you go, fuck, that could have, you know, that could have been the role, and maybe it's never going to happen. But I guess like what I've learned is everyone's got stories like that. And the truth is, yeah, sometimes I think if you just keep at it, no matter what, like you just, there's, for me, this thing was always, I just never had a plan B. Like this was really all I fucking thought I was good at. And, you know, I feel like now as I'm getting older, I'm trying to like learn other things or be more curious about other things. But it really was it for me. So I just kind of kept at it. And fortunately, yeah, the Winter Soldier role worked out at a time where I think I was more ready to deal with
take that on.
Yeah, or what that was going to become. Because I got to tell you, if I had booked that Star Trek role when I was 20, whenever that was, then I don't know if I would have been ready personally. I mean, someone else at that age
right.
maybe was, and certainly Chris Pine was, and he was the right man for it. But I guess it's my point is sometimes those things really do happen a certain way, and things do come in your life at a certain time when you're actually more equipped to face them than, you know?
Absolutely. For the Winter Soldier, when we were talking about living in New York and doing like ADR, mm-hmm. with all those action scenes, is most of that done after?
Well, yeah. It's very weird and unnatural because you're sitting there doing efforts. That's what they call them. And you have to kind of, you're watching the action scene and then kind of doing the breathing and the reacting to the hits and stuff. And it's very funny. I think Hugh Jackman like filmed himself doing one of those things, but that's what it is. It's just really weird. And you're just like in the space kind of going, you know?
Yeah. Because I'm also thinking if you're doing this in a soundstage and you have to pretend like you just got knocked 10 feet backwards, I mean, that's difficult to do.
It's also the first time when you see like what the scene turned out to be and you go, oh, God, this is, I mean, that's what it's going to look like. Like, that's the take they pick, you know?
Right.
Or you get like a little kind of relieved that it's not looking that bad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because it's also the first time you see it. But what's also funny is that you have to go back in that moment where you were on that day, what your intention was for the scene. And you know, sometimes it's like a crying emotional scene and you're like, wait,
yeah.
You're coming from lunch and you're like, okay, wait, now I got to like get back to that moment. I have to be emotional and cry. And this was from like a scene from 8 months ago.
And you had, I mean, you had scenes like that, right? I mean, like you've done, you know, it's just, it's true. It's the worst when it's an emotional scene and you're like, okay, it's going to be tomorrow. And then the whole day is about that thing. And then you're doing it. And then they have to break for lunch. So and by the way, the camera hasn't even been on you. It's been on the other person. So technically now you're going to have this 1 hour of waiting around to see if you can get back to that moment or whatever that was. But now, you know, you've had a little bit of food, so you're kind of more tired, you're slowed down. Like, you just,
it's
not going to work out, you know?